We're off now to meet young farmers Dave Sweeney and Alice Trevelyan, who are swinging open their farm gate via social media to allow people in. They've spent lockdown diversifying and now have a native plant nursery on their Waikato farm.
This is the bunker, and we put a potting table, which is just around the corner in the middle here, and then we put a little gazebo up for shade, and yeah, this is pretty much where the magic happened. Lots of shovelling. I can't think how many cubes of compost that we've shoveled. It must be about 16 cubes of compost. We were really lucky to have Dave's parents and my parents in our bubble over lockdown, and yeah, without them I don't think we would have got through them all, but yeah.
And it's quite funny, we all, you know, some of us farmers have got fatter fingers and probably aren't as good on some of the more delicate jobs, but we can get on the end of a shovel and shove a bit of compost. So we all had our own jobs and it just actually worked like clockwork.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
And we actually had some friends come up that have a native plant nursery in Taupo, and they sort of taught us their magic tricks of how to be efficient, and I think without them we'd probably still be here potting up because I was being pretty slow and super, super delicate. But yeah, it turns out they're a little bit tougher than they look.
There are now 22,000 plants potted and neatly set out on the dairy farm's former grass tennis court. There are kanaka, manuka, grasses, flaxes, cabbage trees and kawhai seedlings.
We've actually been really lucky. We've been able to source quite a few things secondhand for the nursery. So we sourced those carry trays and our irrigation system from a nursery which has been closing down, which was really cool. And we also got this really cool cart that we've been using to shift the plants around from our bunker, our compost bunker over there, into the nursery, which was found in an old shed at Mum and Dad's place. So yeah, it's been really cool to be able to reuse some old things to get us up and going.
How old do you think that cart is?
Oh, I'm not sure, but she's had to have a little bit of a birthday already, a couple of new tyres, and she's a bit wobbly, but it's been perfect for us getting started. You feel like you're pulling a chariot, but yeah, and even the materials for our bunker, most of that was from stuff either lying around on the farm here or again at Mum and Dad's place.
There's a lot of plastic, isn't there, in the nursery industry?
There is, and there's something we're really keen to kind of encourage, recycling of pots. So any plants that we sell, we'd love to have the pots back again to reuse them for next year. And the brand of pots that we've actually gone with, they're actually made from recycled plastic, which is pretty awesome. So things are starting to change in that space.
Dave says Alice has greener fingers than he has, but they both come from a line of keen gardeners.
Like, I grew up on a sheep and beef farm, and Dave obviously on the dairy farm. I work off farm at the regional council and work with some pretty amazing farmers doing some pretty amazing things.
I also work off farm as an ops manager. Yeah, I'm overseeing three sort of 630 cow farms.
This farm has 430 crossbred cows.
We've called ourselves a native dairy farmer, so we're really wanting to sort of link our passion and love for dairy farming and natives, I guess. And we're just using a bit of a social media platform to get a few messages out there about the good that farmers are doing out there in the community. Also wanting to link it to natives and plantings and trees, you know, what can be achieved with shade trees and little, you know, filter areas and stuff on farm. But also just sharing our journey. I mean, we both have sort of gone through university and been in other jobs and mixed with a whole range of people. And I think it sort of always surprises me, I guess, sometimes the knowledge gap between town people and rural people and what actually goes on farm. It's not just as simple as getting cows out of the paddock, milking them and sending them back. So we're just trying to share what we do on farm. We're not sort of saying it's right or it's that's the way it should be done, and hopefully might drum up a bit of interest as well and hopefully attract more people to the industry that we love.
Now we're frying here because we're standing on black mat and it's already about 26 degrees. Shall we go over in the shade? Now Dave, you were saying before that you think there's a bit of a gap in knowledge between what urban people think goes on a farm and what actually goes on the farm. What gaps would you like to fill in?
Well, it's probably just what we do on farm on a daily basis. There's a lot of science that goes in behind the scenes that influences what decisions we make on farm, whether it's breeding or the crops that we sow. You know, there's soil science, we've sort of noticed as well, once we start sharing some of the stuff we're doing, the feedback that we're getting from people as well, that, oh, they didn't realise that that was the case.
What have people been surprised by?
It sounds so simple and basic, but just a cow having to get in calf to produce milk, to the reason why we sow certain crops on farm to help us through the summer months, and just the planning that goes into planning for feed and dry summers.
So at the moment, have you got any crops in?
Yes, we've just got a chicory crop just here actually.
Tell me about chicory.
Chicory, we've been growing that for a few years now, but I guess we love that as a crop to help us through summer. It has a deep taproot, so it means it can actually source a lot of moisture and water for a long period of time and at great depths. Chicory is a great crop for utilising nutrients in the soil, so we've targeted effluent paddocks that typically can sometimes hold higher levels of nutrient.
How do you feed it?
We just strip graze it, yeah, so just like grazing.
Now I can see all your cows are trying to find a bit of shade there. Have you planted for shade on this farm?
Yes, we have, and that's a massive area that we probably want to improve on, eh, Alice?
Yeah, I guess we're starting to plant a few paddocks a year for shade, and I guess it's not only the benefits animal health-wise for the girls getting shade, there's lots of things, it's an environmental benefit, but then also, you know, happy cow, more milk in the vet, so there's a lot of things that kind of link together, and those are the things that kind of get us excited and that we want to share.
The couple say they've lost count of the number of trees they've planted.
Yeah, it'll be over 1,000 now. We're still starting pretty small. It doesn't always have to be a massive area that you retire and plant to make a big difference. Just over the hill here, we've just got a little seep, and it might not be a big area. It's probably like a third of a hectare, even less. But the area that it filters is massive, so just protecting that area and enhancing it with some planting is doing a massive job, but you haven't lost a massive area to do it.
And I think a lot of the time, the areas that do suit planting are troublesome for us as farmers as well. You know, you don't want to have to be trying to find a cow in a wet spot, or they don't tend to grow a lot of grass, those sort of areas anyway.
So what else have you done on this farm to reduce your environmental footprint or help protect the environment?
We've also looked to upgrade our effluent system to make sure it's operating as effectively as it can. We've also done our farm environment plan with Fonterra, which is a pretty cool process to go through.
Now that might be a daunting thing to a farmer.
I didn't find it too scary. I guess it's always scary opening up your farm to new people and being open to some criticism. But I think we're all aware that we all have some improvements to make, and getting that feedback and writing it down on paper really helps you kind of realise your goals, but it also makes you realise what you've actually done to date and the cool things that you are doing. So yeah, it's been a good process, and it's definitely given us a few things to work on.
From an animal welfare point of view, we've changed a lot within the system around how we manage our cows as well. So soon, going into sort of November and December, we'll start milking our cows at lunchtime as opposed to waiting till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And our reasoning behind that is, I mean, we're standing out in front of the cows now, they're all under the shade trying to cool down. So we sort of feel we get them back to the cow shed and we have misters and sprinklers in there to actually cool their body temperature down before they get too hot.
What about stock numbers? Have you reduced those?
Yeah. So I've been on the farm for, must be 8 years now. And I think every year we've actually reduced cow numbers. And it's been quite amazing. We haven't actually lost a lot in terms of production.
Dave says he also wants to start direct drilling the maize crop.
It does massive things for a farm's environmental footprint. You know, you're going from cultivating massive areas of land.
Which means turning it over,
that's right. So it puts you at risk of losing nutrients and soil. But you know, it's a practice that's fairly new. Sometimes you actually want to see someone else go through it first. It's definitely on the table for next season with our maize crop. And we'll have to see how it goes.
And I guess that's another really cool side of the social media profiles, is that other farmers actually comment on our posts and suggest things like, have you tried this, or we do that, and it actually helps us learn and try new ideas too. So yeah, it's been a cool process.
I mean, when Alice came home and told me she'd thought about this great idea while she was getting a haircut, and told me about it at the breakfast table, I was a little bit hesitant of it. Alice does deal with a lot more of the social media stuff. But no, it's really cool, and I'm enjoying it as well.
But yeah, different kind of posts. Like, we did one this week about the fact that we pre-mo for the girls before they come into graze. We're really passionate about that because it kind of gives them their food on a plate, really. So they spend less energy eating and more time resting. And so different people kind of comment if they do it, if they don't do it, why.
Somebody goes into the paddock, mows it, and so the grass is just lying there, yeah?
Yep.
It's just as appetising as if it was still growing, still standing and growing?
I mean, if it gets left too long, it does dry out pretty quick and wilt. But, you know, especially a day like this with the heat, it allows the cows to get in quickly, get what they need and go and rest and make more milk, basically. The grass is going really reproductive at this time of year, so it gets real stalky. And a cow has to actually use her tongue to break that grass off, so we're trying to do the work for her.
You wouldn't think that it required a lot of effort to eat.
No, but our nutritionist challenged me. We're standing in a paddock and it looked like there's a lot of grass still left to be eaten there. And she said, well, you try and rip it off with your hands. And I did, and it was friggin' hard. So they've got to do it with their tongues. And on this farm, we believe it has made massive differences for us and our cows.
And you said you've got... Did you say two or three full-time workers here?
Got two full-time workers, I guess with the nursery and our other jobs. The pressure has come on a bit, so we're trying to employ a third person 4 or 5 days a week. That's one of our other big goals at the moment, is to try and get better at providing a good work-life balance for ourselves and our staff. So it's a big part of the nursery too, is to try and add a bit to our income and give us a little bit more flexibility. We're hoping we can get to the point where we're able to give our staff more time off.
So do you do much milking yourself?
Yep, I'm still in the roster here as well, which puts the pressure on a bit. But no, I still really enjoy it. I feel like if I haven't been milking or seen the cows for a few days, I start feeling like I'm losing touch a little bit.
Would you like more people to engage with you on social media?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really cool to get that interaction, you know, whether it be urban people or other farming people and couples. It's, you know, sometimes it can be a hard slog on the farm, or, you know, COVID's obviously put extra pressure on people and there's so many stresses out there. I think Gumboot Friday is a really good campaign to highlight some of the mental health challenges we've got out there as well.
You donated a calf, did you?
Yeah, we did actually. Yeah, a beef calf. So the money from the calf will go to Gumboot Friday, or they call their foundation I Am Hope. Mm. So that's providing counselling services and that to our young people. You know, we just thought it was a great initiative. Some local farmers just down the road, Aaron and Tanya, actually came up with the idea, and it was massive. And farmers just really wanted to get on board and help. You know, for us, we're feeding 100 to 120 calves. What's another one or two? And we just thought it was a pretty easy, simple way to give something back as well.
So that calf will be reared?
Yeah, so we reared it, and then once it was sort of around that 100 kilos, then it went to the sale. I think he made, our particular animal, was about $570 on the day. Saw a post from Tanya the other day, they were up to about $60,000. In terms of contribution to the foundation. So I think that's great.
Dave Sweeney and Alice Trevelyan on Dave's family farm near Te Awamutu. We'll put a link to their native dairy farmer pages on our webpage.